It's a Flophouse twofer as we discuss Rennie Harlan's Devil's Pass and have our annual awards floptacular.
Everyone, and welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
Hey, Dan McCoy. I'm Stuart Wellington.
And I am Elliot Kalin, the third in the trio. All for one and one for all. The three Flopsketeers. Three coins in a Flopton.
Hooray!
Is it weird that of the three, there's the three Musketeers, but the most important
really
one
weird.
Is not included in that number?
Well, it's because it's about him joining the three Musketeers, right?
Yeah.
Well, so, mystery solved. I guess Encyclopedia Brown can close the case of the missing Miss Musketeer. Sure.
It was all about the puddle of water on the floor.
That's where the Musketeer...
It was a block of ice.
It turned out mules can't have children. And that's how I know Bugs Meany's plot was fake.
Wait, like mules from AD&D's Dark Sun setting?
No, mules like in the mule in the Foundation series.
Okay.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have called it the first Battle of Bull Run, because at the time, he wouldn't have known there would have been a second Battle of Bull Run.
Yep, thanks.
Battle of Manassas.
Close the case.
So are we doing something here, or what's going on?
This is not an Encyclopedia Brown cast. This is a podcast where we talk about bad movies.
We're called the Flophouse Podcast.
Yeah, we watch a bad movie, then we discuss it. And a little programming note.
Sure.
Normally at this time, we would be doing our awards floptacular.
Okay. But nobody likes those.
No one likes those. But what we're going to do, we're going to roll that into this episode.
So that you cannot like part of this episode.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think our listeners are going to revolt, Dan, and burn Dan-shaped thing in effigy.
Yeah, we're selling
an effigy then.
Yeah. Burn its knee right off.
We're going to find that, oh no, the award floptacular is our favorite episode. We wait all year for that.
Yeah.
Is what they're going to
say. And we'll be like, then how come the download numbers tell a different story?
So we're watching, in this case, we're watching a movie. We're going to talk about that for the first half. And then we're going to do a abbreviated awards floptacular.
So we're not
going to
have
half.
Any movie recommendations.
Or letters.
No letters, but that means no letter songs.
I'm sure you'll figure out some way around that loophole.
We'll record a special episode of all letters.
Did someone say loophole? Hey, everybody, let's make a hole of a loop. Let's loop in a hole. Let's get a roll. Let's something that's... I can't do it. It doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
It's got to be about letters.
The only things you can sing about. Yeah. That's what the Beatles found out.
It's his muse, yeah.
That's why all the Beatles songs are about letters.
Eleanor Letters. Letters on the Hill.
Yeah, we all live on a yellow letter.
Revolution number letters.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. I should have said... Wait a minute. I didn't even change any of it. I was going to say Lucy in the Sky with Letters, then say, you expect me to say Letter in the Sky with Diamonds. Instead, I so totally screwed it up that I didn't even put the word letter in there.
Elliot's been spending too much time with me and becoming an incomprehensible mumble mouth.
Now I can't talk, and my tongue is trying to leap out of my mouth and escape.
Yeah, it's not as much fun when I'm the only one who speaks properly around here.
Yeah. So, Dan...
The Queen's English.
Like they speak in Queens.
Yep.
So, Dan...
Sorry. We watched a movie tonight called The Devil's Pass.
It's actually just called Devil's Pass.
The Devil's Pass.
There is no the. It's the difference between The Invisible Man and Invisible Man. They're two very different books.
Directed by Renfield Harlan.
Renfield Harlan, descended from the Dracula Renfield. No, it's Rennie Harlan.
You may know him from previous Flophouse movie 12 Rounds. You may know him for previous Flophouse bad movie recommendation, Mindhunters.
Long Kiss Goodnight, probably.
Sure.
Ellie probably recommended
two,
that.
Cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger?
I guess the answer is Dan. That Exorcist prequel. That
Cutthroat Island, too, right?
He did,
Cutthroat
yeah.
Island, yeah, that was the biggest
was bomb
of all time,
flop,
according
yeah.
to somebody.
He's a guy who knows how to make a big blockbuster
Nightmare
film.
On Elm Street 4.
He was going to make a Sound of a Thunder, but he didn't.
Okay.
Somebody else made that.
Probably would have been more entertaining. Although, based on this movie,
based on
maybe
this movie,
not.
No. It wouldn't have. Now, 12 Rounds, let's all remember, was really fun. It is a fun, stupid movie.
Uh-huh.
Devil's Pass
it stars like some kind of mudman, cast Santa. In the shape of a human being.
John Santa.
Bashing his way through Nolans.
And also Carchetti from The Wire.
Yeah.
But we didn't watch that movie this time.
No.
We watched Devil's Pass, which is Stuart's favorite type of horror movie, a found footage horror movie.
Yeah, I can't get enough of that sweet found footage.
Everything
Where do you find it? In the fucking garbage, I hope.
Because it's trash. Everything in it is as if it was recorded by a group of, they're like college students who go on a quest.
Yeah, they're going to find a magic whistle.
Yeah, they went to an inn, and the innkeeper gave them shots of some kind of strange
let's get into the movie before we get to that scene. Okay, so two college students are putting together a movie about the...
But little did they know that innkeeper was actually a wizard because he produced flame.
We haven't even... He just used like a torch. It would not even...
It's called a lighter, Elliot.
So... There are two college students who hire three other college students to go with them to investigate a real-life incident, according to Wikipedia, called the Dyatlov Pass incident, mm-hmm. in which at a mountain pass in Russia, a party of nine climbers was found dead with some strange circumstances about them. They didn't have shoes and were in various states of undress. Some of them were found to be slightly radioactive, and they had horrible wounds that... were on the inside, but not the outside, a mm-hmm. few of them. And it's never been explained. And it is very clear Renny Harlin read a book about it and decided to make a crappy movie about it.
Sounds like a fascinating thing to make a movie about it. About now, let's see how he ruins it by not really focusing on the actual incident.
Allow me to explain that the most interesting thing in the movie to me is that there's a character briefly that you see named Dr. Kittles, which sounds like a horror movie for kids about an evil veterinarian. Who, like, kills kittens, I guess?
Was it, like, the prequel to Dr. Giggles?
It's the cat version of Dr. Giggles. You know how sometimes they'll... Like, there's a porn version of some movies. Other movies, they make cat versions. Catman and Robin and so forth.
Sure.
Well, I just thought that, like, if you were in a movie, like... Say you're watching a movie like An American Tale, where there are cat characters, there would be...
All villains, of course.
In the background...
Except for Dom DeLuise.
There would be a marquee on one of the movie theaters that would say... Dr. Kittles.
Yeah, because there's a Dr. Giggles joke in an American Tale. A children's movie made before Dr. Giggles.
Yep.
Great, Dan. Great, yeah.
Sorry. I apologize to you and everyone.
Thank you. Apology accepted and much needed. So there's five kids. One is the conspiracy nut. One is the earnest, clear Danes-looking woman who loves to do stuff. Another is a woman who is their sound expert, and two mountain climbing experts.
You've got all kinds of women in this movie. You've got blondes and brunettes.
There's two. And Dr. Kittles, who is a woman. But and there's an old woman, too. But anyway.
Not a sentient cat.
No. It's not a Totoro type situation. Yeah.
But. Why do you look at me when you said that?
Oh, because you're half Totoro.
Sure.
So anyway, but it turns out, so we watch their footage, and then we cut to news stories saying that a bunch of American teens were found dead and disappeared in Russia. We see a really fake-looking American fake newscast, then a pretty realistic-looking Russian newscast, and then there's something that's like, by the way, they never released any footage from the cameras that were found, but some hackers found some of it. And here it is. And so the rest of the movie...
I guess we're watching like a Frontline or something? Because this goes on for a while. They
watching
show all
like
of the footage.
A movie within a movie within a movie. And they show the entirety of the recovered footage of this group. And to make a long story short, they're a bunch of young jerks. They go to Russia. They ride a train forever.
A lot of joking and a lot of flirting.
They go. There are a lot of flirting and joking. They go to a little town. There, they go to a bar and they drink the same drink that the original Dyatlov party drank 50 years ago.
Yeah,
which
it's like Saturnian wine or
is
some
treated
bullshit.
As if it's like a weird coincidence. But the bartender's like, "Oh, what are you doing here? Oh, we're gonna go up there and investigate what happened to the Dyatlov party. Okay, well, here's a drink that they had.
Yeah,
you know, you should try it too.
Spooky.
Yeah, I mean, how long do you think this fucking guy's been waiting to serve somebody this drink?
Oh,
clearly no one else is going there.
Just a theme restaurant.
Yeah, it's
everybody.
It's just party after party goes through looking for these missing the answers behind this mysteriously dead climbing group. And he's like, oh, another one. All right, haul out the spooky sounds.
Yeah, this is like going down to Salem and like having like the witch martini.
Yeah, having a witch burger.
Wait, witch burger?
Yeah, down at Broomhilda's. The witch-themed fast food restaurant. Mm-hmm. Yeah, going to Loch Ness and having like a Nessie steak.
Yep.
Or, it's just or a regular beef steak and they dye it blue.
Like a Sasquatch taco.
And where would that be?
It's got like Sasquatch peanut or something.
You really didn't explain what. And where's the Sasquatch themed restaurant?
And like, I don't know, like Pacific Northwest or something.
I don't know. I don't know why you're acting as if I'm investigating a crime.
It's got some like yellow fur in it or something.
It doesn't. Why would
Sasquatch
be...
have?
Wait, you're eating fur. That's like a terrible appetizer.
Yeah, and instead of a tortilla, it's like salami or something.
Like a huge piece of salami. Wait, I guess it's Sasquatch salami. So.
Salami wrapped around fur? That sounds
Is Salvador Dali serving you this? Down at Sally's Place, the surrealist restaurant. All the waitresses are nude, but they have telephones for heads.
Here, have our cocktail. One perfect hard-boiled egg suspended in a pitcher of orange juice.
Oh, and it's served on the back of a moving cat. So go for it. Try to find it.
Wow,
you don't
really
have to worry about what time it is because the clocks are all melting.
This is a fully formed idea, guys. Yeah. I think
I'd like to invest in this idea.
No, you should.
Where can I make my check out?
Write it to Salvador Dali, courtesy of guy who died 30 years ago. I guess more like 20 years ago. Right. Care of almost played the emperor in the Dune movie.
This is a weird. I don't know if the post office is going to deliver this.
Oh, well, no, I'm just going to steal the money.
Okay.
Anyway, so these kids are going up to Russia. There's a lot of ominous signs. They go, I'm just going to say it as quickly as possible. Yeah. They go camping out in the mountains. It's snowy.
Basically,
and cold.
Everything you'd expect to happen happens.
They find there are spooky noises, there are mysterious footprints. They find a disembodied tongue just lying in a weather station. Yeah.
It's like some sort of Blair witch is haunting them or something.
Yeah, yep. Some kind of Blair Russian witch. Well, I don't know what you'd call it, like Blairovich. That's what it is. Some sort of Blairovich.
Yep. Yeah.
Anyway, and eventually they find a hidden door that leads deep within the mountain.
Yep.
Where I guess Smaug is keeping his treasure.
Observation roll or whatever. They're on a quest. It's a role playing game.
It's
right?
A role playing game called Bore the Audience. Everyone's arguing. There's the hunky athletic mountain climber expert.
You're using hunky super loosely, by the way.
Well, he's supposed to be the hunky guy. It bristles with the nerdy conspiracy guy who is also not that nerdy. And there's an avalanche. Uh-oh. And one of the women is killed in the avalanche, the one who's the audio expert, not the one who looks like
brunette,
Claire Danes.
The one that's most likely to get topless.
But
she doesn't because it's a PG-13 movie. Well, she sleeps with the mountain climber, but you don't see anything because it's a PG-13 movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's an avalanche. She's killed in that. Everyone else is running around. Oh, no. Oh, no. The experienced mountain climber like breaks his leg or something, right?
Yep.
Yep. Chalk that up to a new experience.
And well, you learn something no matter what happens. Ah! And a bunch of soldiers, I guess, fire at them. And the three remaining members.
Wait, a bunch of soldiers? Yeah, it was like
Russians.
Two dudes showed up.
Yeah,
right?
Russians.
Russian soldiers show up, and they basically the.
But they're off in the distance. We don't know they're soldiers. They're Russians, and they start firing at
them. But they have guns, like, and they seem, you know, pretty well trained.
But before the firing happens, like, one of the leaders of our intrepid band is like, this avalanche was caused by the Russian government. They want to hide something. Like, they set charges off.
Yeah.
And the Russian soldiers can sort of confirm this by showing up and shooting at them.
And there was a heart-to-heart moment before this where of the two people who instigated this trip, the guy says he once had a bad acid trip where he imagined they were in this place years before they went there. And the girl says years ago when she was young, she had a dream where she found a door that led into darkness, and she went into the darkness. So, spooky, I guess. Anyway,
all kinds of weird dreams, dude.
Foreshadowing.
Anyway, the other mountain climber, this one has a goatee, gets shot, and the three of them escape into the door in the mountain, but the doors all lock on the outside. So they pull it shut, and then the soldiers lock them in. and they wander through dark hallways. Now, I've just skipped about 40 minutes of the movie, which is mostly them walking around in the snow, just kind of doing a bunch of nothing. And
Like making a camp, making camp snacks, and
there's a lot of the kind of details they're supposed
jabbering.
To. They go over the details of the original, the original disappearance over and over again, and a lot of these are like real world details that I think are supposed to make you feel more like this is lost footage. These were real people. We care about them now, but instead, it's
like
just
using the term AT instead of saying Appalachian Trail.
Yeah, but instead you're just like, come on, I know this is fake. Two, I know this is supposed to be a horror movie. It's like, let's get with the spooks. Let's get with the scares.
But also,
where's the jump amounts?
More fucking monsters in the background of the shots.
But three, for all the time that is spent.
Don't use my numbering.
Not
start your own numbering, please.
All right. A.
No, okay, that's better.
For all the time that is spent not doing anything, you expect there to be character development. But these are the most interchangeable group of nothing people that you've ever seen in a movie.
Cardboard, but one, like, their characteristics are one guy is slightly nerdier than the others. One guy has a terrible goatee, and he's the nicer of the two mountain climbers.
Mm-hmm. He's got like a weird hat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of the women, one is blonde and the other is not blonde.
Yeah. And I guess one lady's slightly sassier. And the other's a little more restrained.
I don't even know if that's the case.
Well, like, the one is like no nonsense. She's here on a mission. The other is just, you know, like along on. It's just a job to her, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so anyway, they escape into the mountain.
She's a renegade sound girl.
I'm only in it for the sound.
Yeah, there's one last job, and then she can retire.
Yeah,
down
at
Key
the
West,
age of like 23.
Yeah, down in Key West, open up a beach bar.
Where she can record all the sounds she wants to record.
Yeah, just stick a microphone in a shell and record the sea.
She can serve this specialty cocktail that's a pitcher of orange juice with an egg in it.
Yeah, I call it the ADR because I'm a sound person. So they escape into the mountain, and there are dark hallways, and it basically feels like they ran into a Resident Evil game. Mm-hmm. It's just dark hallways and like things skittering about. They find an abandoned old Russian army base that has a bunch of records about the Philadelphia experiment, the fabled, not real American Navy experiment from World War II, mm-hmm. where a ship supposedly traveled
in
time.
This is the experiment where Cary Grant and Jimmy Stewart merged together yep. in Katharine Hepburn, right?
Whoa. Whoa. Hold on a second. So it's just some kind of threesome, is what you're saying.
Kind of crazy chimera.
They merged together. Thrusting inside Katharine Hepburn.
It'd be
right?
amazing if there was an early cut of the Philadelphia story that included...
Where Katharine Hepburn's like, hold on, boys, I don't need to make a choice.
That included just a long, very graphic double penetration scene, and the studio bosses were like, George Cukor, what are you doing? Are you crazy? We can't release this.
This is way ahead of its time.
This is so cutting edge.
I can look into the future and imagine a time where this is commonplace, but not now.
Not now. No. We're locking it up in the vault.
Yeah. And that still exists, guys.
And we got to find it.
Let's rob that vault.
Let's rob that vault and finally get Stuart, that Katharine Hepburn score footage.
Okay.
What am I?
Yeah, you're the brains. I'm the wheel man.
Okay.
Okay, so we have a car, a smart guy, and bombs.
And bombs. Now all we got to do is find where the film is, figure out how to steal it, and we're home free. And then what we're going to do with it afterwards, because I think maybe once I can watch the novelty value of a threesome with Jimmy Stewart, Cary Grant, and Katharine Hepburn, but I don't know many times after
Yeah,
that.
After the first time or three times, you just it's hard to enjoy anymore.
I also like
know?
How Dan, in Dan's mind, experiment means threesome, whereas I would think like something science-y.
Sure.
The only
Yeah, like they start researching something, and then they all have sex.
I mean,
it's an experiment. Science-y.
Yeah. Well, the scientific method implies that they just got to try everything.
Our
right?
hypothesis is that three people will make it extra hot. Let's test it.
So,
but we need to replicate these results.
So they find this down in this.
So they're
place,
in this.
Right?
They're in this place. There's a lot of old documents, and they find some dead bodies. Some of whom
with like weird, gross,
are
teeth.
Monstrously misshapen in their teeth and whatnot, mm-hmm. sharp teeth. Eventually, it turns out there's
the guy who's been hurt. They kind of leave behind for some reason.
Yeah, they say they'll come back and
get
him.
He's too sleepy.
But he was shot. Yeah. And he's lost a lot of blood. He's like, oh, yawn. Let me just catch a couple Z's and I'll be okay.
Don't worry about me, guys. I'm just too tired. I'm too tired and to go on.
He's had a rough day.
I'm just going to snuggle down here.
My feeties are so sore. I'll just lie here and get up my energy. So they're attacked by a bunch of monster people who have that like elongated arms, belt, you know, pot belly, you know.
You've seen them in like a million movies.
They're like the Legion demons.
Yeah, they're like a Legion.
And all sorts of
stuff.
They don't
die as easy as those demons.
No, because they can teleport.
Okay.
And they're bamfing around like Nightcrawler in the beginning of X-Men 2, X-2, X-Men United.
Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of shots of these monsters like screaming at the camera or like grabbing somebody and moving all jittery.
I gotta tell you.
I've seen this before.
I've seen this
type of
monster.
You saw this movie already?
No.
Why did you make us watch it?
I've seen this type of monster before, as we've been saying.
What, in the zoo?
It's a real Legion type of monster.
Yeah, it's pretty rote by the numbers.
But that said, I feel like it was actually done better than I normally see it in this movie. Like it was genuinely kind of freaky when they finally showed up.
Yeah, well, the fact that they're half in shadow a lot of the time is good.
Well, and that they keep shifting around, like they have this thing where they're like phasing in and out of reality somehow.
Yeah,
that made it a little creepier.
Well, I like that description more than what they ended up saying is that they're just teleporting.
They can just
around.
Teleport. Yeah.
Like the idea of them being unstuck in time is more interesting to me.
Or like the monsters in. From Beyond, where they're kind of existing on a different plane of reality, and they're like popping in and out of our reality in their own. That's not what it is. They're just teleporting. But Dan's reading is better, so let's just take it that way.
From Beyond's great.
And From Beyond's fantastic. It's all goofy and gross. But a guy gets killed by a swarm of bees, and they eat his skin somehow.
But I gotta say, like, we haven't gotten to, like, the full craziness of where this ending goes, but this movie unloads so much crazy at the end.
Instead of
in
doing
like the last 10 minutes,
instead of doing a slow drip, you have a lot of these characters wandering around in the snow, not doing very much, and then suddenly in the last 10-15 minutes, it's underground Soviet base, monster men who can teleport. Okay, we're gonna open up this cave door. Oh, there's some kind of time portal that goes to Lord knows where, and we're going to leap through it.
Yeah,
holding hands.
It's a fucking Stargate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except when they go through it, they don't end up in an Egyptian-based alien world run by the She-Man from the Crying Game. Is that what it's called?
They're the Gwa'uld. Yeah, that's the alien race.
It's a terrible name.
Gwa'uld.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, what?
Guardians.
The Owls of Jeff Galooly. So they think, maybe we'll walk through it and we'll think about where we want to be and then we'll escape. And they walk through this portal, and the camera goes with them. And this is one of my problems that I have with this kind of like Cloverfield Blair Witch movie. Something scary is chasing you. You can just drop the camera. Like, the camera is not going to go with you. Because you have to, it's every now and then they'll do something to show it's a found footage movie. Like, they'll put the camera down, and you'll be like, wait a minute. So you were running around with your hand in front of your face with a camera attached to it when you thought you were being shot at, or that there were monsters coming at you. Like, nobody in the world would just keep shooting. I mean, maybe if you're a professional news photographer or something like that.
But worse than that, like, as...
That was my problem with Cloverfield, though, is it was like, seriously, the guy won't put down the damn camera? I know what you're saying, Dan.
Well, no, like, well, we haven't gotten there yet, but you're about to say that they leap back into the past.
When they go through, suddenly they're dead, and we see through the camera that some people are trying to reach them, but Soviet troops stop them. And these people are... One of them is a woman who's a young version of an old woman they interview earlier in the movie, who said, even though there were 9 people in the mountain climbing group that disappeared, I saw 11 bodies. And it's the two...
He's closing the circle.
Our two last main characters, and a Soviet troop picks up the camera, doesn't know what it is, he's baffled by it, because it's future technology.
Yeah, but with the found footage thing, that's where I was going, like... How did the fucking hackers get their hands on this camera that teleported back into the past?
Because at some point the Soviet
hackers
government...
Hackers can do a lot of shit, Dan.
And also,
they
hack
skateboard. They've got dreadlocks, even though they're white guys.
Fisher Stevens skateboarded into the past, took it and plugged it into a computer, and there was just a bunch of code flying around, you know, in a haze.
Okay, fair enough.
They hacked the world. When they hacked the world at the end, it involved this.
Exactly. DJ Qualls figured it out.
Also the net. Let's not forget that. Anyway.
Yep.
And Tron. Everyone was Tronning about with their Johnny Mnemonics.
Yep.
Yeah. neuromancing up and down, dancing on the ceiling, kung fu fighting, walk the dinosaur, all that stuff. You know, War Games, Weird Science, Colossus the Forbin Project, 2001 A Space Odyssey, and so forth.
Okay, you've convinced me.
Yeah, thank you.
Anyway,
do you want to play a game?
No, the only winning move is not to play, Elliot.
Oh, good point. Well, the game was hit yourself in the head with this, so you're right.
What?
Lawnmower Man's.
Yeah, there you go. Lawnmower Man's, yeah.
I can play the game, too.
D. Snyder's Strangeland.
Sure. Well, that was a little different. That was not really about computers so much.
Or Fear.net.
There you go. Untraceable.
Brain scan.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. A lot of stuff with computers in it. Virtuosity. So here we go. So and we see as their
my favorite Russell Crowe performance, by the way.
Russell Crowe?
Yeah, Russell Crowe.
The WWE wrestler. Yeah.
He's a member of what, the Legion of Doom?
Yeah, he's a Russell Crowe slash the Crow themed wrestler. So it's like Russell Crowe with the Crow's makeup on. And his finishing move is he plays a song from 30 Odd Foot of Grunts.
I'm imagining this is like an alternate, like when he made Cinderella Man, this was the companion piece. He was like an old time wrestler, but for some reason he was under his actor's name. Russell Crowe is going to wrestle his way out of the Great Depression.
I wish Cinderella Man had been just the story of Cinderella, but Russell Crowe played Cinderella.
Yeah, where it's Cinderella. Man.
And Russell Crowe's just like on his hands and feet scrubbing his wicked stepsister's shoes or whatever. And then a little mouse helps him make a dress. That'd be adorable. Anyway, so the Russian troops they've gone into the past clearly through this portal. The Russian troops take their bodies and remove their modern weird looking clothes.
Is it a portal of time?
It is a portal of time, not a porthole of time. Right. It's way too big for that. If anything, what it looks like is more of a sphincter of time.
It really walked
into the Earth's
anus.
It's
a colon of time. Yeah. Yeah.
And they just got spat backwards in time. But and their bodies are hung up on
a
rack.
They walked into a time sarlacc.
And their bodies, through some weird transformation through the portal, are now half monstery.
Yeah, they're like ghouls.
And they start like shaking a little, and it's clear that they are now... They have become the monsters that attack
like,
them in the future.
They have kind of badass haircuts now, too.
Yeah, yeah. They look like the girl with the dragon tattoo. Sure.
And it's sort of vaguely implied that maybe the thing that killed the original people in the past is the shockwave or whatever of them going back in time.
Of our heroes, yeah, emerging into the 1950s.
I mean, one problem with this movie is...
It's not going to be one problem?
This is the single, solitary problem.
Is how boring it is?
I'm saying that one of the many problems is that it both... It soothes and relaxes. It either spends way too much time explaining something... Or
it doesn't
glosses
like
over
we
something
doing.
And assumes that you understand it.
Yeah. We are told that this... And it also... The movie throws out a lot of possible theories early on. Was it UFOs? Was it Sasquatch Yetis? Mm-hmm. Was it... Who knows? Was it local tribesmen? And at the end, it's like...
Was it a ghost chupacabra?
It's almost like at the end, they were like, oh, man, why can't we just...
Yeah, it's a poor fucking chupacabra that died and is now haunting a fucking village.
Yeah, well, he's got to make up for his cowardice in his living life by inspiring someone else to be brave. It's the Canterville Chupacabra. Starring Chupacabra Loughton. But it's like the movie throws out all these possible explanations and then it finally hits on one at the end that is way less interesting than any of the others. Stuart, you put it best. I think that you said this movie was like the... I think it was you. Maybe it was Dan. I think it was you who said this movie is like The Descent if The Descent was really bad.
Well, yeah. I mean, they use all the, at least leading up to the moment where we're introduced to the weird fucking laboratory, they use every cliche of like, oh, we went to sleep. Oh, we woke up and there's markings in the fucking snow.
Yeah. The snow's all yellow. It's probably full of nutrients. Let's eat it.
We heard a weird sound. Let's investigate. There's a tongue for some reason.
Yeah, they never really explain why that tongue was there either.
No, they do.
A monster ripped it off a dude's head.
But then why did he leave it in a weather station?
No, they...
To totally spookify people, dude.
Yeah, I don't know why it was in the weather station. They do like try and explain it. Like, there's like a...
They show the person whose tongue it was
They show
was
a soldier ahead, and their explanation was like, oh, you know, if you're going to like try and keep this secret... Wouldn't you send someone ahead first to make sure that there's still a secret worth keeping? And I'm just like, okay, I guess. But then, like, the people who ripped this guy's tongue out, then were they killed too? Or I guess those were maybe killed, but they were killed by the Spook-em-ups. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't really, it's not very clear.
So that guy, and then, but then who took they've been the tongue out and left? They've been trying to fire that guy, but that guy's part of the union, so they had to
Soviet
send him
union.
Along. That's why they don't call it Soviet Union for nothing.
Yeah.
So they sent him on ahead to make sure the monsters are still killing dudes.
Okay, you got it. Reminds me of a talk I saw Evan Dorkin give once where he talked about how in every monster movie, there's the idiot who just runs up to the monster so that the monster can show you what his power is. Instead of keeping a distance and like shooting the monster, someone runs, oh, what is it, Halloween, and runs up and gets electrified or something.
Yeah, I got to say my favorite moment in the movie is when they're exploring the weather station for some reason. She opens the door to the weather station, sees the tongue, shouts, what the, and then basically does a fucking flip take.
Just, what the, and then falls over into the snow, and you're like nobody has ever done that.
She is struck dumb by this
The
thing.
Only way it could have been less realistic is if all you saw was her feet flying out of the panel as she reacted to the punchline she just heard from that tongue. Tongue, anyone? What?
I think my favorite goofy moment was when the avalanche came and that lady died by, like, she, like, snow-surfed into a camera where we, like, see, the, like, the lens of the camera shatter. Well, like, her face, like, flies into it.
Her face slams into the camera, beat, and then crack appears.
Yeah, it looks like the fucking splat from that paintball Nintendo game.
Scarifying.
But to get to, I mean, I like a good walking around to dark tunnels and there's creepy monsters skittering around. And, like, I like stories that involve conspiracy
time loops.
Time loops and conspiracies and hidden military bases with monsters in them and stuff. But I felt like this movie did not set up or earn any of that. It just suddenly was like, are you bored of seeing the characters not having any idea what's going on? Well, here's a whole lot of shit. Let's dump it on you. Okay, gotta go. Run. Like, the movie was trying to, the movie realized it had nowhere to go, so it just threw a bunch of mud in your face so it could run away before you could catch it.
And it's like,
smoke bomb. The whole last 10 minutes of this movie was a smoke bomb. A cinematic smoke bomb.
But, I mean,
if only they didn't can't even catch what you don't see.
But and yet those last 10 minutes were the best 10 minutes.
They were. It's not saying,
like,
a lot.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you didn't think those monsters were realistic? Well, we're not going to show them to you anymore.
Well, it's
we don't
almost
get them
like
anymore.
There's no reason why they couldn't have gotten to that underground tunnel like 30 minutes in the movie, 25 minutes in, after maybe 15 minutes of them wandering around the snow instead of like 40 minutes
they
of
could
it.
Have kept more of the hikers alive to get murdered
by the monsters.
Yeah, they could go in there, they could find the monsters, they could be scared by the monsters, they could go back out, they could be chased back into the tunnels by the Russian army.
Yeah,
I mean,
and then when they go back
there's
out.
There's so many common elements that you could have, like, it's just the, like, the lamest version of this movie.
And they did not earn a time portal at the end.
What do you have to do to earn
that? I mean,
that,
to Alex? Just mention the Philadelphia experiment and then be like, when a time portal shows up in a cave, you're like, by the way, this was always here. This is what we meant to always happen. And there are some cave drawings, and they're like, the monsters probably made these. This is their home or something, and they came from their world, or they're
something.
Aliens or what. Like, the characters are still spinning theories that are clearly wrong. And maybe there's a movie in that, like, a horror movie where it becomes very clear to the audience what's going on, but the characters cannot seem to figure it out and keep spinning out theories that are clear, that we know are totally not correct. I think it would be a really frustrating movie to watch, but still, you know.
All right. Well, we should.
The same way that once you see an alien on The X-Files, every episode when Dana Scully's like, I don't know, like, come on, just. We've seen them.
I think that
those gray guys.
I think the X Files plays better if you assume that after a certain point, Scully's just dicking around with the molder.
I mean, the X Files plays better if you stop watching it at a certain point.
That's true.
Sure, and you just click over, like, and watch Millennium.
yeah, the much better Millennium.
You watch Harsh Realm instead.
You watch Viper.
VR5. So. We should
Millennium. Just Mopey Lance Hendrickson just walking around doing nothing.
Yep, looking for pumpkinheads. That's what he's doing.
Is that what that show was about?
Yeah, it was about pumpkinheads.
Yeah, it was a pumpkinhead prequel.
So this was, I wish there was more to talk about in this movie, but it's not.
No, that's
this
fine.
Was a real nothing of a movie that Dan could not wait to watch.
Well,
it was chomping at the bit.
It was Rennie Harlan.
Rennie Harlan, it's going to be crazy. but it was not crazy. It made me queasy with all the shaky cam.
All right, so
do you think in real quick, do you guys think in any way this movie was improved by being a found footage movie. Do you think that if they had made a non-found footage version of this movie, it could have been better?
I think there's almost no found footage movie I've seen that I wouldn't have liked more as a non-found footage movie.
Dan?
What are we talking about?
Whether or not it being a found footage movie had any positive impact, and is it possible it could have been improved by being a traditional?
Definitely have been improved by being a traditional movie. We should skip ahead to Final Judgments.
Let me just say one last thing about found footage movies.
You can say it in Final
Judgments. Okay, if here's my final judgment. It was bad. So the here's what I was going to say about found footage movies is that if you were going to make a found footage movie that looked like it, that was told a story through pieced together found things from different sources, I'd be more interested in that. Like kind of...
Like security videos of the monster home?
Security videos or news stories or personal home videos. Kind of like what F for Fake does for documentaries. If you did something like that for a horror movie where it's pieced together from different pieces from different sources, that'd be more interesting to me than like, we brought a camcorder with us into a spooky house or a cave or some shit. We're just going to hold it and all the time, you know. And eventually it's going to drop and you're going to have like an unmoving shot where monsters are running around in the background and we'll have night vision at some point. But to have if it was like a story that somehow it was like you were watching a documentary.
I feel like getting night vision on your camera is just a bad move because you know there's going to be monsters.
There's either going to be monsters or someone's going to see you having sex. And you're going to have glowy, weird cat eyes.
And that's nobody gets turned on by that.
The only time that looks good is at the end of the Thriller video. But the if it was, I would rather see like a spooky, fake documentary.
Yeah.
That was pieced together from different sources. But is genuinely scary than like...
Like The Bay? Did you ever see...
I never saw The Bay, no.
But even that used some crappy, like, why is this person carrying a camera around?
Yeah. I'm not a fan of footage.
Bad movie.
We're all bad.
Yeah, I think we're all bad bads.
No, there are no surprises.
We're all bad bads.
Before we move on to the next bit of the show,
Oscars Floptacular.
The abbreviated Floptacular.
Reader's Digest edition.
I just want to spotlight one of our sister podcasts over at All Things Comedy. In this case, I would like to spotlight the Dork Forest, Jackie Cation's podcast, where she discusses her favorite obsessions with the obsessed. And
that's a great
over
show.
Over and above her podcast, All Things Comedy is starting to release stand-up albums.
Original albums.
And
for digital download for very competitive prices. Yeah. I think it's like, what, $5?
Yeah, well, that's just $5. I wanted to say Jackie Cation has launched her latest stand-up special, This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux, which is available for a $5 digital download exclusively through All Things Comedy. You can get it at www.allthingscomedy.com/Jackie Cation, and you can get a limited edition tour shirt with the cover art for that same special at www.jackiecation.com/horcrux. So check it out.
How do you spell that at the end?
You spell it in the way that the Harry Potter books spell.
Oh, I didn't know it was a Harry Potter thing. I thought it was like, this is the place the horrors really come together. The Horcrux. Yeah.
Yep, that's what it is in Harry Potter, too.
I remembered one thing I did like in Devil's Pass, so let's leave on a positive note.
Okay, which was when it ended and we got to...
And we got to stop watching. When they're in the base, they find a camcorder and they start playing the tape on it, and it's stuff that happened to them. And if they fast forward and get to the point on the tape where it is what they're recording right now... And you realize later they found the camcorder that went back in time with them. But there was something very spooky about that in kind of an H.P. Lovecraft unexplainable mystery way of, I found a camera here that has a videotape on it that shows what we're doing right now. And I almost wish they had not explained it in a time travel science fiction way and it had just been spooky. But that was a genuinely creepy moment for me. Like, oh, okay, that was interesting.
Yeah, it played up the whole unexplained phenomena angle that I think Rennie Harlan was obsessed with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
He was obsessed with explaining.
Overall, though, like, I think a documentary about the original incident
would be way more interesting.
And
creepier. Yeah, creepier, yeah.
Or like a normal movie but about the original incident.
Dramatized movie. But like,
people Rennie Harlan, killed by, I'm guessing, an irradiated wrestler who kills everybody.
Mm-hmm. It must be a radioactive Yeti orangutan, you know, yeah. Professional wrestler guy.
Yeah, it's real murders in the Rue Morgue.
Yeah.
Murders in the Rue Mountain.
Thanks for putting that in language I can understand.
But I do wish Rennie Harlan had just made a straight documentary about the original thing. But anyway, yeah. We're done with that. Bad, bad movie. Moving on to live from Hollywood Dan's apartment. It's the Flophouse. Abridged, abbreviated, very short, floptacular segment.
Oh, Dan, you look good. What are you wearing? Is that from the Stephen King collection?
I'm wearing a gray fleece over what I would call this sort of a pullover.
And over here, that's Stuart Wellington in a tuxedo. Who's your tuxedo by?
It's from Dan McCoy Swimwear. You can find it on the Flophouse Podcast website.
I don't think you can.
And here's me wearing nothing special, jeans, shirt. And, you know, another
sort of a Western shirt.
Yeah, it's plaid.
But no socks or shoes. It's a real beach outfit.
Nope, because my hobbit feet need to breathe, even on a red carpet. So, guys, what are we talking about? Which award show? The AK Place Awards? The NAACP Image
the
Awards?
The Mary Kay Place Awards?
Yeah, the American Girl Place Awards for the Best American Girl. The award goes to Dan. Wait a minute.
The Academy Awards. The Oscars.
The Police Academy Awards. Best sound effects goes to that guy. The sound effects guy.
Not Tackleberry.
No.
The only sound effect he does is the cocking of the hammer of a pistol.
Most craziest goes to Zed.
Yeah, I mean...
Why can I not remember the sound effects guy's real name?
Motorboat Jones?
No.
Michael Winslow?
Michael Winslow, thank you.
So,
brother to fictional character Carl Winslow. Anyway, you're saying, Dan?
I watched the Oscars.
Also a police officer.
All the way through.
I also watched the Oscars all the way through.
And I have a strange lack of enthusiasm for them.
I thought this was, it started out strong.
Okay.
I thought it was a fine Oscars for a long time. And then Ellen DeGeneres apparently made the decision that she didn't need to write any material for the last two-thirds of the show.
She could just wander the aisles offering people pizza three times in a row.
Riff and banter. I didn't have any major problems with the award winners, you know. It was kind of like, oh, okay, it was a good year for movies. Nobody really shitty got, you know, won any awards that I could think of.
I mean, I had my problems that I always did with, like, the shitty bits. Like, if she was just going to wander...
Or shits.
If she's just going to wander the aisles like that, like, I mean, there's... We've reached a point in Oscars history where...
just thinking about the times when I go to the bathroom and I just leave a bunch of shitty bits in the toilet. All right.
Terrible cereal, by the way. We've reached a point in Oscar history where...
Not kid-tested, neither is it mother-approved. And that's not
it's
a
not FDA-approved.
And that's
either.
Not a toy in the bottom of the box.
It's a part of your balanced breakfast if you want to get hepatitis C.
Even the milk turns chocolate.
All right.
Just part of this unbalanced breakfast.
Okay. But what the hell is it going to... We've reached a point in Oscar history where, like, you have these honorary Oscars that went out to people like Steve Martin and Angela Lansbury. I would have loved to have seen more about that.
But they don't want to show
that.
That
shut it off to a different ceremony. And
because today's viewers don't want to watch that.
Pizza bullshit.
Well, they want to see celebrities hanging out.
Yeah.
What I understand
taking
is...
Taking selfies.
You could include those honorary awards if you cut out the unnecessary tribute montages. And I'm talking about not the In Memoriam, my favorite part.
Yeah.
Where we celebrate Hollywood's
We doubled it up this year for some reason. We had the full In Memoriam, which was tasteful. I mean, I would have liked to have seen a little more actual like footage from the movies, but it was
And it was
well
weird
produced.
That they chose one credit for each person. Yeah. So it was like... All right, I guess that was the only movie that Harold Ramis made, you know.
But then after that, they're like, and now Bette Midler to sing
Wind Beneath My Wings.
Wind Beneath My Wings, yeah.
And only because the theme of the night was Heroes. And that song has
NBC's
the line...
NBC's Heroes?
No.
It's coming back for a miniseries.
Great, I don't care. I didn't like it the first time. But so they picked a song that said, did you ever know you're my hero?
Oh.
Because the theme was Heroes. But they shoehorned that theme into so much weird stuff. And I read something that was saying how the Oscar winners must have been pretty predictable, because to have had a year where the theme was Heroes and Matthew McConaughey wins for Dallas Buyers Club makes sense. But if like Leonardo DiCaprio had won for Wolf of Wall Street, it's like, heroes like this jackass who made millions and did this terrible stuff. Where
was it that said that this was the theme?
At the very beginning, they said heroes. Then they had a tribute to animated heroes, a tribute to superheroes, and a tribute to real-life heroes, which I think you pointed out to me included Atticus Finch from To Kill a Mockingbird, because somebody at the Academy thinks that was a real person who existed somewhere and not a novel character.
Was that why Matthew McConaughey was talking about how he was his own hero?
Yes, exactly. Right. And now the weird thing about...
All right.
These tributes.
All right.
And yeah, I say this as someone who has made an Oscar
montage. Oh, we get it.
So I'm just saying...
You worked on an Oscar
but
montage.
I'm just saying, I know a lot of hard work and time goes into it. They're not easy to do. You cut them over and over again to try to get them right. And it takes a long time. These were the laziest, I think, Oscar montages I'd ever seen. It was rare that you saw a movie from before, like, 1997 in them. There were a few, but they were had to... If you were not the most famous movie ever, like Casablanca... Or To Kill a Mockingbird, you were not making it into this. But if you were Superman Returns, you were all not Superman Returns. If you were Man of Steel, you were all over it. If you were Shrek, you were all over it.
Well, also,
it was like each montage they would take one recent movie, make that the backbone of it, and then scatter a bunch of other recent movies and like one or two old movies.
And the last montage I remember was particularly baffling because it was all basically like superhero or action things, and then all of a sudden like. At the end, it was like, oh, and also Footloose.
Yeah.
Everyone remembers.
Because he's a movie hero.
He's a fucking hero, dude.
He's a movie hero. If anything, he's a more effective hero than, Man of Steel.
He does bring dance back to that time.
Yes. And Footloose is better than Man of Steel, which is terrible.
Yeah.
But it was like they had Jim Carrey come out, ad-lib a little bit about Bruce Dern. Then he introduced the tribute to animated heroes. And then it was like, okay, so I guess we're doing the animated categories now? Nope, we're not. Somebody else came out to introduce, I think it was the Costume and Production Design Awards, and it was like, wait a minute.
Great Gatsby's awesome.
But why did we waste time with
just give it to The tribute? Hobbit, though, instead.
The Hobbit won zero awards.
It robbed.
Now, yeah, Stuart.
Check its pockets. It's been robbed.
Now, Stuart, you were in Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico, yeah.
The Transpuerter.
How's that?
Well, I was drinking a lot of beer and not watching the Oscars.
Sounds pretty fun.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, every year I have the same experience with the Oscars.
Although I checked the results the next day. Mm-hmm. And I disagree with specifically one of them.
With that there was no Hobbits?
No. Well, yeah, that too. No, I just don't feel Jared Leto should have won for Dallas Buyers
Club. I thought he did a good job, but I've seen that performance before from other people.
Yeah, and I'll accept that Matthew McConaughey won instead of Tom Hanks, who should have won for Best Actor.
And was not he's nominated. Amazing.
But he still should have won. By
write-in votes?
I wrote in a couple of votes on the back of fucking cocktail napkins.
And just threw them into the ocean in the hopes that they would reach Hollywood. I don't know how the ocean currents work, but I assume...
God bless you, little napkin. Yeah. Godspeed.
I just closed my eyes and fucking believed they'd get there.
I assume
just
this
like in
water goes into Jack Valenti's grave. His ghost will make it happen.
Water goes into his grave.
It's a poorly dug grave. You're laughing at the moist
level.
Grave of Jack Valenti. You're a ghoul. You should be in a mountain cave in Russia, you ghoul.
What was I complaining about? About Jared Leto. I don't know. It just didn't feel like...
Who did
like...
you want to win that award?
That was actually what I was going to ask you guys. Who else was nominated for Best Supporting Actor?
Best Supporting Actor, Jonah Hill.
Okay, keep going.
There's that guy from Captain Phillips.
The guy from... Oh, yeah, I wanted him to win. The head
Already
of the Pirates
better.
And Captain Phillips.
Yep.
Boy.
Because Jared Leto wasn't even on screen that much.
Jared Leto was on screen a lot. He was the second lead in the movie.
There was...
I think was Wally nominated this year for Best Supporting Actor?
I guess I'm just being a complainer. I didn't feel that. First off, I don't think that movie should have, because Dallas Buyers Club is a very straightforward.
Dallas Buyers Club
is a
crowd pleaser, kind of classically structured.
He shouldn't have won.
He shouldn't have been nominated either. And I have to admit, I feel bad saying this. I was really happy American Hustle won zero awards, even though I think it probably should have won like costume design or hair, but. That was a movie that I thought was enjoyable, but like so totally overrated.
It was a mess.
A mess of a movie, and so many of the scenes were just the characters yelling at each other in circles, and you were like, wow, he really let the actors just kind of, there's a reason that actors need a director to rein them in sometimes and a screenwriter to give them things to say, because often you get scenes where it's just characters yelling at each other. And it was just a weird movie. Like, the for a movie about an intricate sting operation, they kind of lost interest in that pretty quick. I don't know why he was bringing his wife, Jennifer Lawrence, to all of these things. It didn't make any sense at all.
Well, I think why, that David O. Russell expressly didn't really care about the sting stuff. Like, he's like, oh, app scams, kind of interesting, but I just want to make a, I want to make another character study, like a kind of a screwball character study.
But it even failed as a character study. Like, the characters didn't have any dimension to them.
No, I agree. I, you know, it was a very entertaining movie to watch.
Yeah.
That had no, like, it had no substance. It was like a dandelion puff, like, blowing away on the wind.
That's beautiful, Dan.
Yeah.
That's gorgeous.
Thanks.
And you want to run down the dirt road to catch it, but uh-huh. You just can't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you're making it sound too good.
Well, you also feel bad because by blowing the dandelion puff, you've helped it to spread its seed around the world, and you're like, did I get tricked into having sex with a dandelion? Is that what happened?
You're always getting tricked into having sex with a dandelion.
Yeah, right? Seductive bastards.
That's what you gotta learn.
But overall, like, I kept forgetting, like, what the Best Picture nominees were before the Oscars. Like, they announced them, and they're right. Like, Philomena. And I'm like, oh, yeah, right, that was a movie. But otherwise, I mean, otherwise I agreed with a lot of the winners, you know? Or not even agreed, but, like, didn't have a problem with them, you know? I still haven't seen 12 Years a Slave, so I can't say what I thought about that. But, like, I was happy Gravity won for directing and cinematography. I was happy that that original song from Her did not win, you know?
I like that okay, just because I like Karen O, but it's a little bit of it's a slight song.
It's like they're shoving the whimsy down your throat.
Yeah,
I'm assuming next year's Oscars, it's going to be Everything Is Awesome from the Lego Movie soundtrack.
So. I still have not seen that movie.
I haven't either, but I want to.
I mean,
my kid is really keeping me from seeing the kids' movies I want to see. That Frozen,
lame. Just leave that kid with a babysitter, bro.
I think I'll probably do that for Grand Budapest Hotel. I really want to see that.
I've now seen two performances of Let It Go. I've seen the Oscar performance and that, like, lousy Fallon performance.
I don't know that one.
And I have not been impressed with Menzel yet. And I have to.
So, Dan, you're going to want to go on. You're going on the internet slagging Idina Menzel.
No,
that is an unsafe mood. Taking your life in your hands.
No, I have to assume that she's amazing in the actual movie. But both of the performances that I saw of her, I think at the Oscars, you know, she was being overpowered by the
by John Travolta's mispronouncing her name.
Yeah, by that and the orchestra, and I think that her doing like the Fallon thing with like the toy instruments is like doing her no favors.
I have no idea what that is.
It's like a thing that Fallon does. He gets people to get, he gets songs and does toy instruments with the Roots. Like, it started out with, I think, Call Me Maybe with Carly Rae Jepsen. It's a thing. You know, all of Fallon stuff is about
toy instruments
on the internet.
Like playing a Teddy Ruxpin or something?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They're playing a Teddy Ruxpin and
like
an assignment.
Rubskin?
Teddy Ruxpin is the adult version. No kids allowed for Teddy Ruxpin. You put Filthy Tapes in.
Yeah, you gotta play the tape backwards.
Yeah.
And it tells you to worship Satan?
Yeah. All right, I'm sure Teddy Let It Rubber. Go is a great song in the actual context of the thing, but I was...
But it happens to me every year that I'm watching the Oscars. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to tweet about it. I'm just going to enjoy it on a sincere level and not have to come up with, you know, like snarky bits. Quips. And then I get bored and I start tweeting about it.
Yeah.
But it happens every time.
So you're saying the Oscars needs to not bore you.
I think it should be one, about the movies, two, shorter, three, less of it.
Better.
They do the thing where instead of being what they are, which is an award show for movies, and being that to the best, they kind of chase what they think people are going to want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is like celebrities hanging out in
exactly.
one place.
Exactly. Celebrities hanging
They're
out.
Just like us.
And it's like,
yeah.
If you're not going to give...
They eat ramen noodles and put their pants on two legs at a time.
Wait.
How do you do that? Is it like the wrong trousers?
Yeah, no, you lie on your bed and you stick your legs up in the air. Oh,
and what, the magic legs jump up?
Yeah.
I have button eyes and things like that?
You rub your legs with chicken fat.
Keep talking. You rub your legs with chow yun fat.
You get a good grip on the sides of your pants and you yank them on there.
How do you get them over your butt?
Well, you tuck your butt in.
That's what chicken fat is for.
That doesn't make any sense.
Dan's right. Chicken fat's for your thighs, though. You just suck your butt in.
So you can't suck your butt in.
Yeah, you squeeze. You squeeze it in.
So you have like a concave butt?
And for a moment.
Well, when you're flexing. It pops out and he goes, boing.
Okay, I'm with you on the boing sound. I don't know how you get to that point.
It's pretty simple. You suck it in, you yank them on, you button that shit, boing.
So the boing comes post-buttoning.
Yeah, because if you boing before, you're not getting that button on.
It'll just pop right off.
Exactly.
Fly through the air, hit a mouse in the face, he uses it as a monocle.
I was going to say it knocks the stuffy butler's monocle out of his eye. So I never, and then maybe like a hip-hop lyric or something.
Somebody's got baps on the brain.
So
I had another thing to say. If the Academy Awards is not the place to give Angela Lansbury a Lifetime Achievement Award, and just on a side note, I can only think of like four movies that she was in that bring her up to Lifetime Achievement level. I'm not sure why they gave it to her. Murder, She Wrote, does that count?
It's like a movie, it's short and it's on TV.
Aside from The Manchurian Candidate, Beauty and the Beast, Gaslight, and Picture of Dorian Gray, I can't think of another classic movie she was in. I'm sure there are more, but I just can't think of them. Yeah. But they didn't show you. They showed you almost none of them. But like, if the Academy Awards is not the place to give her a Lifetime Achievement, then like, why are you doing it? You know?
Yeah.
Is the reason to do it for ratings? The awards predates television. You know, like, come on. Let's just do it up to do it.
And the In Memoriam, like, it was pretty up to date this year, yeah? Like, up to, like, Harold
Mostly,
Ramis.
They put Harold Ramis in, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
They put in that Shirley lady Temples. Who died on that horrible bridge accident. I mean, like, barely. They, like, sort of, like, shoved her in as a footnote at the end.
I'm not familiar with that one.
There was a train accident where, like, some sort of production assistant got...
Oh, well, that's terrible. Yeah.
But I'm just bringing the podcast down.
So here's what I would tell the Oscars. Job. Here's what I would tell the Oscars.
You pick a movie.
You guys bring it aloft and I bring it back down.
I'd say for the Oscars, your time
like
as
the sandbag of the podcast.
Your time as a television program is over. Unless maybe you don't do it live. Mm-hmm. You have like an hour and a half, 2 hours cut down version, and then you release the whole thing on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
For free?
No, you either charge people or you have sponsors. The same way you make money for anything. And then you can include Angela Lansbury as part of the cast, and then you can cut it down however you like for the television, primetime, whatever. But then I can see the full speech that Steve Martin gives, because I'm way more interested in that than the speech that Baz Luhrmann's wife gives twice in one night for her Great Gatsby Awards.
So, I mean, I think that's pretty much all we have to say about the Oscars, especially considering that only 2/3 of us saw them. But in a more general sense, this is kind
Aren't
of
Aren't we all watching the Oscars?
This is kind of our chance.
Isn't there a little bit of Oscar in all of us?
Well, there's a little bit of Godzilla in all of us.
I ate a little bit of Oscar, so yes. But this is...
I don't understand what that means.
Why is Dan locking the door?
Yeah. Why is he looking at us and seeing two big chicken legs?
No, this is kind of our chance to put a bit of a bow on 2013. So if there's any kind of year in review things that you want
to... Well, thanks for not giving me time to prepare. Stuart, I think you had your top five movies.
Yeah.
I know that Stuart had something, so I wanted to...
Castle Freak, number three.
I did glance... I did jot down like five movies that I felt kind of looked over or were a little overlooked or were just genre movies that I liked a lot.
Okay.
Pacific so
Rim.
Pacific Rim. Wow, you guess it.
I know
Pacific
you.
Place Beyond the Pines, actually. I don't know if you guys saw it. But,
I did.
Yeah, I really liked it, despite the fact that I felt like it was a little... It had some, like... I don't know if I'd say saccharine or like cliched elements.
Yeah.
Or overwrought elements.
It's a little, it's very melodramatic and slow.
But there's a lot of stuff I liked about it still. It for some reason it worked.
Any movie where a guy rides a motorcycle inside of a globe cage, you're okay with.
Globe of Death, yeah. World's End was fantastic, of course. Yeah. And then I would say if you haven't seen Ninja 2, or Ninja Shadow of a Tear, you should watch that. That's a release this year. And Your Next was probably my favorite, like straightforward horror movie of the year. I don't know if you guys have seen that yet, but you should check it out.
I haven't, no.
And I did want to point out that there's a couple. There's I didn't see a lot of. There was a lot of movies that I haven't seen. I'd still love to see Upstream Color, The Evil Dead remake, and The Wind Rises. And my biggest disappointment of the year was probably Elysium. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I also didn't see that, but I heard it was disappointing from you and others.
I'll just toss out that, you know, I didn't see there are a lot of movies, obviously, that I did not see. And I feel like
most of them, I would
with
say.
Every year that passes, I see fewer movies that are released in a certain year. But
you've been watching a lot more movies released in 30-minute chunks on porn websites.
Sure. Well,
30-minute chunks, huh?
Yeah.
But
because they've been stolen from another site and uploaded to somewhere else.
Of the films that I did see that were released this year, I think that my three favorites were probably Inside Llewyn Davis, The Wolf of Wall Street, and Blue is the Warmest Color. Of movies that were...
In what scene did you like the best in Blue is the Warmest Color?
Jesus Christ. It's a three-hour movie. It's not all that. But of the movies that
All that was a TV show.
Already
and she's
it.
All that is a movie.
Yeah. Quid pro quo, you're a pervert.
I don't think that's what that means. Of the movies that Stu already said something about, I also very much enjoyed The World's End and Upstream Color. And here's a movie that I'll toss in as like a left field.
Just toss it right off, bro.
Just a left field thing that did not get a lot of attention. I saw Brian De Palma's Passion, which was barely released. But
I heard some negative reviews of it.
I very much enjoyed it. I thought it was in the vein of... a femme fatale, just
okay.
a very glossy, campy kind of arch,
scampy
film. I mean, it is super De Palma-y, and some people don't like that, but just as a pure like glossy surfaces cinematic bit of enjoyment, it is a very smart piece of trash filmmaking.
True story, the first time I saw Femme Fatale, mm-hmm. I...
Ejaculated.
I rented the pan and scan version and had to take it, like, I stopped it and took it back to Blockbuster and got the widescreen version, because pan and scan in that movie was worthless.
Yeah. Elliot, I know that we did spring this on you, but if you have any thoughts that you want to do, toss in.
Not...
Movies.
Hey, everybody loves them. From the very beginning, with the workers leaving a factory, the Lumiere brothers made it. I liked The World's End a lot. I liked some of the other ones you guys named. Inside Llewyn Davis I liked a lot. I really liked Gravity a lot, which is lame to say because it was a big hit.
It's a lot of fun.
It was one of the few times...
I've said negative things about it, but I really enjoyed it.
It's one of the few times lately that I've seen a movie in the theater and been like, one, I'm glad I saw the theater, and two... This is an experience I'm going to get at a movie that I'm not going to get out of any other medium.
Flying back from Puerto Rico, I watched the last 10 minutes of Gravity over somebody's shoulder. They were watching on their laptop, and I still couldn't stop watching it.
Yeah, it was a really good movie. I'm sure there are other ones that I saw that I liked that are just not coming to mind at the moment. But I also really liked Only God Forgives, which is not, it's one of those things where if you're the right audience for it, you're really going to like it. If you're not, you're going to hate it. But for all its kind of slow, overwrought sleaziness, it was exactly the movie I wanted to see when I watched it. And my disappointments for the year were actually Upstream Color a little bit, which I really liked when it was about people trying to build a relationship, and I didn't like it as much when it got into the more science fiction-y stuff, which I was disappointed about because I really liked Primer. And I guess if you're going to go super popcorny, whatever, Iron Man 3. Big disappointment for me. What are you going
to
do?
You want a real magic mandarin with magical rings.
Yeah, that was part of it. Was okay. I really, if you're going to, like, the surprise twist about the mandarin is one of those where it's entertaining for a second, and then all you're left with is a fucking another villain who's just another industrialist billionaire. Great. When I could have had a Chinese warlord with 10 magic alien rings that have powers that are very vaguely defined, like cold and black vortex.
You do make a good point.
You're like, oh, this is a clever idea, but I was hoping to actually get this cool bad guy.
Yeah, I was. It's like, oh, that's an interesting take for a second, but yeah, I'd rather see like a big comic book movie that doesn't end with that doesn't end in basically like just by turning into the last Boy Scout with some armor.
Well, I think there's something to be said about the about an Iron Man suit filled last Boy Scout ending.
And also, that was a movie that you could tell so much money went into it and so little thought. Where by the end of it, it was like, sometimes this guy hits hard enough that things explode, and sometimes he just punches people. Also, Pepper Potts is dead for like a second, but Tony doesn't really care because he knows she's coming back, even though the audience isn't supposed to know it. And this thing is really impossible to cure, but we cured it just now, so Pepper could live. He can breathe fire now for some reason. Also, the villains of the movie are wounded war veterans.
All right.
There was so much I didn't like about it.
But it started with that I'm Blue song, which is pretty great.
You're right. I James stay corrected.
Change your mind.
Started with that terrible I'm Blue song.
I like the balls of that.
So that was the best movie.
It's almost like the movie was warning me, you're not going to like this.
Okay. I enjoy that movie a lot more than you do, while acknowledging that all of your objections are valid.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's like Prometheus. Like, I understand every single argument.
I still liked it. And I liked Captain Phillips a lot, too. I'll say that. I'm not usually a big fan of the shaky cam, lots of cutty style. Lots of cutty style. But I thought it worked really... I found it to be a very tense movie, which I liked a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think this was a good experiment, guys. In a...
Wait, do you mean
we know what you mean by... I know what you mean by experiment, and it's going to get weird in a second.
Yeah.
No, I think that...
when you got in that beaker...
Abbreviated Floptacular was a nice.
Next year, nice we could even do pace. No Floptacular.
We can try it with our clothes on.
You know, it's nice to acknowledge the passage of time as we all grow older and closer to death.
How did this do that?
It's a year in review. I don't know.
But it wasn't really. I suddenly had to think of a couple movies off the top of my head that I saw.
That's the best way to do it.
Not really, no.
So for the Flop House, I guess I've been Dan McCoy.
You guessed?
Yeah.
Well, that was definitely Dan McCoy, and I am probably Stuart Wellington.
And I know for a fact I'm Elliot Kalin, because I'm looking at my driver's license.
Or is he?
Bum, bum, bum.
He isn't looking at his driver's license.
I'm sorry. I apologize to you all that we're sitting further away from each other.
Yeah, how am I supposed to touch you inappropriately?
What's crack a lot?
What's with the new table, Dan? Well, that's the same old table, though.
The way we're doing it these days.
Just doing it weird style. He did it so that we can't give each other high fives.
I can't reach. I can't reach. You're so far away. Just fingertip touches.
Sometimes you want a strange touch.
I didn't like that.
Dan McCoy starring in Strange Touch.
With your glasses and fleece on and a beer in your hand, you were basically a Stephen King protagonist just now when you said that.